director, Christopher Biddle, who is no longer with KBUT. And it was so successful in some of the interim with, you know, rearranging some of our people here in the office. I knew I wanted to bring it back, and so here we are. And we have three guests tonight. I'm joined by our first guest, Alec Lindemann, who used to be our membership director and is now the executive director of the Malarty Theater. A little bit later, I'll be talking with Carrie Wallace from The Majestic. You might remember the phrase that was heard all over the Gunnison Valley for, I don't know, a year and a half or 2 years, Save the Majestic. She'll be talking about that. And then we have Zach Kindler from the Crested Butte Avalanche Center on deck to come in to talk about this season and what you can expect for spring skiing conditions. And we'll have some music sets in between some of these conversations. Hi, Alec.
Hey, Kelly, how's it going?
Great.
It's weird being on sort of this end of the aisle. Is that the right way to put it? I don't know. But, you know, especially because I've had my show, the follow-up for Community Matters. I watch all of this go down. It's kind of funny. People are always like, oh, I'm so nervous. And as a DJ, I go, you're fine. I'm a little nervous. I'm not going to.
Are you really?
We'll see if I hit all my talking points. I'm pretty sure I will, but, you know.
I love it.
Yeah, but it's really great to be back.
It's really lovely to have you here in this capacity with your new journey.
Yeah.
The executive director of the Malarty Theater. And am I saying the name of the organization correctly?
It is the Crested Butte Mountain Theater.
Okay.
Slightly sort of confusing. The Malarty Stage Cabaret space, that is the space that is kind of upstairs. You know, the organization is the Mountain Theater, the Crested Butte Mountain Theater.
Okay.
So good question. No, very good.
Okay. I get confused about that. I know the Malarty Theater first opened its doors in 1972.
Yeah.
With a small group of passionate people who wanted to put on community plays. Do you have any reflection on that yourself?
In not a surprising fashion, I guess it's maybe indicative of every other things in the Valley, some consideration as to whether or not it was technically 1972 or, you know, when it technically formed up. But yeah, we have decided on 1972. That's a fact. A number of other organizations, a group of people who had an interest got together and they petitioned their government for, 501(c)(3) status to start an organization to help do something. And in this particular instance, it was to put on plays. And the first play was Dark of the Moon, which is an interesting play, I got to tell you. Definitely go ahead. If you can't find it on YouTube or something like that, you have to read it. Lots of odd characters. But if you knew any of the people kind of involved with that initial group, I mean, casting would be easy. A heck of a show. And we actually show, if you go onto our website a number of other places, this picture of, you know, kind of dancers in black leotards up on this hand-built multi-level outdoor stage. That's Dark of the Moon. That is the stage of Dark of the Moon, and then building it. It actually took place sort of where Alpenglow now takes place. And so they have been various stages in our organization. We've been a bit of a group of vagabonds. We haven't always had the Malarty stage as our home, but very, very happy to call it so. Yeah.
I love hearing all of this history about our community theater. So did the Malarty Theater start out as a member organization, member run? How do you guys operate?
In a super real way, I think probably everybody who was a part of that organization back then was literally or figuratively putting skin in the game, building the sets, if not, you know, covering the costs. More established generic concept of membership, as you or I might consider it, is I think something that sort of forms as the group gets bigger and there are people with maybe less time to, you know, hammer some nails into a stage or paint it, but still very much care about it. And that's where that membership, I think, kind of starts to rise up.
And how do you raise money?
That is one of the big ways. Of course, the Mountain Theater is supported through what we call our Friends of the Theater. And, you know, those are our members. And, of course, we offer, you know, a few incentives, basically what you guys would call thank you gifts. For being a member of the Mountain Theater, you get a discounted ticket, some drink tickets, and then also we'll be starting up special sort of pre-sales, which is something you really do want to pay attention to, because the sellout factor for a Mountain Theater show, it is a very real thing, and it's hard to predict exactly what days. So having that pre-sale is nice, as any you guys would know from, you know, Disco Inferno and stuff like that.
Yes.
But we also have a lot of, you know, business sponsors through our Playbill. But, you know, an appeal to everybody out there, actually, what we're really starting to do this year, what we have in mind to do, is get people involved with underwriting a particular show. So being really the main sponsor, if you will, for a play that we have on our stage. And it's a really fun way to engage with the Mountain Theater in a tangible way, because you are not only, you know, a spouse to be, you are in fact a very real part of putting that production on the Malardi stage.
That's very interesting. So how else would somebody who wants to sponsor or underwrite a play, would they be tangibly involved? Would they show up with some of the set production or of the fun?
It kind of levels of engagement correspond with the donor, right? Of course, if you are a very busy human and you are just like, oh, I absolutely want to be a part of putting a show up on the stage, you know, a level of contribution will make you an underwriter for that production. But then, of course, in a very direct way, that money can oftentimes help fund the props and staging and costumes. And so, yeah, you may be kind of in a one-for-one fashion responsible for bringing in the period dress that we use for Silent Skies, for instance, that takes place in the early 1900s, or She Kills Monsters, which is coming up, has a lot of monsters, truth be told, up on stage, and so requires a lot of interesting prop construction. And also, to speak to that point, the Mountain Theater is, you know, tire meets the road, so anybody who's hanging around with two open hands when we're like painting a stage, we're going to put you to work. And so really, yeah, it's just another good way to kind of get your foot in the door, be an underwriter for, you know, a play. But then, you know, see what the theater is all about and hang out with us. We have a good time. Yeah.
Yes, you do. Quick question about Dark of the Moon, the first ever production. Has it ever been brought back to the stage in honor of the historic opening of the theater?
I believe it has, not in recent time. So I don't want to be misquoted. But yeah, I think we've done at least one reprisal of it. And, you know, who knows? It could always make another appearance.
Yeah. It could. You never know, especially in the Gunnison Valley.
Yeah,
what we decide to come up with for fun.
And the interesting thing, too, is you might find, or maybe you at home have commented, right, there's an interesting conversation of the plays we pick, concepts of relevancy, and, you know, Dark of the Moon is not only an older play, but very, very odd. And I think in some regards, that sort of it reframes the concept of what a relevant play would be. For instance, we're looking at one of our plays in the shoulder season being something called Stones in My Pocket, which is a play that was, I believe, written in the 90s. And even still, I won't give too much away, but what it considers, the themes, incredibly relevant for Crested Butte in this particular time. Please stay tuned for more info about Stones in My Pocket.
Okay, we are definitely going to get to your upcoming productions. I want to ask you a couple more questions about the nitty-gritty kind of tires to the pavement you're talking about. Do you have a costume designer who regularly, you know, a talented person who makes these Your costumes?
We have lots of very talented people who work incredibly hard on, like, every aspect. It's so much fun to watch somebody spend, like, 2 hours with, like, a fly swatter and a picture frame trying to make, you know, something called a spanker, and you're like, what is that exactly? but it is still a very creative process. It's not something that this person obviously has experience creating, right? And so a lot of even the smaller things you see on stage often take quite a bit. But, you know, more specifically to your point, right now, Julia Wilson, she was our volunteer of the year at the Marmots this year, has been tirelessly, because I don't think she ever does get tired, working on our costumes. We have a pretty extensive costume closet. By the way, if you're listening right now and have never been by the Mountain Theater office, come on in and say, hey, I'll give you the tour of the prop and costume closet. It's a really fun place to poke around. The tie selection, amazing. But so we have a lot of stuff in-house, and then Western and the Gunnison Arts Center are very generous, as, you know, we all three kind of share things. But even still, there's always some alterations that need to happen. Sometimes we do have to create things from scratch. Actually, Julia just created this really beautiful sash for one of the characters in Silent Skies.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
So I've seen a couple of the Reader's Theater productions. Those were my introductions to, you know, the productions at the Malardi Theater. How do you recruit actors locally from the community and then outside of the community for these plays?
It's the first part is bit more straightforward, I suppose. We do an audition call on our website, and we try to post it all over social media and the newspaper as well. And it is an open casting call for anybody interested. The one thing I think that's important for people to understand about the Mountain Theater is that all levels of this production, that is the sound and light tech, the stage design, the costume and prop design, the directing, the stage management, stage runners, actors, all of these people are volunteers from our community. And it is impressive to watch them all come together. But it also means we have lots of different volunteer opportunities for people.
Sure.
And I think that when I ask somebody, oh, did you ever think about being a part of the show? Oh, I don't want to be an actor. No, thank you. And that's totally fine. And I commend you, you know, for being sort of interested in other things, but trust me, we have a place for you. So keep your eyes out for audition calls, in the end of March, beginning of April. And even if you don't think that what we're kind of calling for suits you or your interests, reach out to us. Even if it's taking tickets at one of our shows or bartending, if you have a mind to, there are lots of volunteer opportunities, and these are incredibly important ways to be a part of the Mountain Theater.
A really lovely way to be part of community. Mm-hmm. You are tuned into Community Matters on KBUT, Community Radio for the Gunnison Valley, and worldwide at KBUT.org. I'm Kelly Dole, and we're relaunching Community Matters tonight.
Nice.
Yes, we are. It's super exciting. If you have any questions for Alec about theater productions, please give us a call here in the studio, 970-349-7444. We have a intern from Western Colorado University, Ethan, who can take your question for you. Let's move on to upcoming productions.
Yeah.
I'm hearing something about Silent Sky and then She Kills Monsters.
Pardon the pun, Silent Sky. Silent Sky, unfortunately, it was supposed to open last week, but we had to postpone. But that just means we are incredibly excited to open this play this Thursday. That is the 9th. At the Malardi Cabaret Space. So this is a really interesting play. There was a group of women employed by the Harvard Observatory in the early 1900s to assist Edward Pickering with his computations. And so he had a different system for tracking stars in the night sky. And as a result, it had way more data than any other sort of method of tracking stars had ever had before. And they had problems processing it for a number of reasons. And Pickering, in kind of at his wit's end, employs his housekeeper to do the calculations instead, and very quickly finds that this woman is far superior to any of the sort of lab clerks that he had been putting to the task. And so he starts hiring more women in this role. And it's at the beginning of this play, they've just hired the main character, Henrietta Leavitt. And so this organization is up and running. There are already sort of well-established calculators working for Edward Pickering. And she has this mind, you know, she's an astronomer. And it's just that maybe no one else kind of knows it. And so this story is her, with incredible resiliency, sort of just making that space for herself. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the character sort of maybe helps reaffirm or prove some of the women, including the first calculator, who was Edward Pickering's housekeeper, you know, kind of giving them also maybe a little bit more hope and a fresh injection of idealism when things at that time especially were just so matter of fact in terms of what these women were allowed to do with mm-hmm. their lives.
Yes.
It's an incredible play. It's not only that, it's a very modern script, so it's just so much fun to watch. Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. Yeah. A 19th century domesticated woman works her way to visibility.
Yeah, and it's,
yeah, with her strength and her perseverance. And March is Women's History Month.
It is.
How yep. relevant is this?
It was well-timed. My artistic director knows what he's doing, Mr. Paul Edwards. And it is, it is the perfect way to kick off Women's History Month for the Mountain Theater. Really, it's hard for me not to kind of tell you all about it right now.
Yeah, I can see your passion.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. So when can people come out to see Silent Sky?
You simply must come out Thursday. Please, if you need to leave because you're doing something else, going to dinner, and come back for the show. But Thursday, this Thursday, that is March 9th at 6 p.m. at the Malarty, we are holding a complimentary champagne toast to kick off the 2023 season. So We just want everybody in town and beyond, please come out, enjoy a toast with the Mountain Theater. We'll go over what we have on offer for the 2023 season. It is jam-packed. And we also have some, you know, kind of little maybes and special surprises to go over. And it's all in celebration of the theater that has been, you know, largely dark for the last couple of years. So please, Thursday, 6 o'clock, even if you can't stay for the show, please come join us for a special toast to kick off the 2023 season. And then if you do stay and haven't had your ticket purchased yet, you can, we're offering that ticket price at the Friends of the Theater value, which is $20.
Excellent. Yeah. And the website?
CB Mountain Theater with an R-E, because we're classy like that.
Yeah.
.org. And you can go to our website for more information on showtimes, but it is the 9th, 10th, and 11th. Doors at 6:30, show at 7.
I'm so excited that there's some relevance to Women's History Month. This is Silent Sky at the Malarty Theater this Thursday evening. Doors open
6:30. Except for Thursday, the toast is at 6 o'clock.
Okay, the toast is at 6 o'clock. And real quickly, you know, upcoming after Silent Sky, I'm hearing murmurs of She Kills Monsters.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Is this a student-based?
It is.
Okay, a student performance?
It is. First things first, I have to shamelessly and excitedly plug, we have for St. Patrick's Day a special Reader's Theater directed by Mike Callahan with his Up Valley, Down Valley players, and that's going to be super exciting. We also have some music as a part of that, and Glo Cunningham coming by to talk about the Irish of the Gunnison Valley. So please, on the 17th, look for more information on our website there, but join us for St. Patrick's Day at the Crested Butte Mountain Theater. And then, yes, okay, so kind of maybe bookending Women's History Month, we have our other production, which is She Kills Monsters, and it is it has been sort of directed and produced by the teens on stage, which Kelly is very familiar with. They are largely all the wonderful humans who comprise the KBU teens.
Yes.
They're amazing, I gotta say. They work so hard.
Yes.
Their drive is incredible. And they're very ready to go for a show that is, it is a young adult's play about the main character, unfortunately, loses her whole family in a car accident and is at a loss and basically ready to, you know, start down a reckless path. And in that time frame, she discovers her older sister's notebook from all of her older sister's previous Dungeons and Dragons campaigns.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and so she's like, what the heck is this even? And then finds herself kind of wandering into the hobby store in town. And the story basically sets up all of the themes and the struggles you could imagine a young adult having to go through that situation would have to go through, within sort of the context of having to slay monsters and be a part of, you know, the Dungeons and Dragons adventuring experience. I'm a huge tabletop nerd, so, you know, it checks off all my boxes already. But it does a really great job of being, like, shockingly heavy. You're like, wow, this is a lot of intense subject matter for a young adult play. But then, you know, it hits you with that levity at just the right point, and it really, what it ends up doing is, it I think actually does a good job of having adults be able to consider what young adults often have to go through, what the real feelings that these younger people are dealing with, that, you know, once you get kind of into your mid-20s and beyond, you start to, you don't appreciate as much. It's very real. And so it's a fun show, but it's also dealing with some substance,
some real life matter. And I'm hearing a little bit of creative expression through grief.
Totally.
With the Dungeons and Dragons.
That's a great
piece,
way of putting
which
it.
Is applicable to all ages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely.
I'm so excited that you're our first guest.
Me too. That was awesome.
Launching Community Matters.
I am going to, you know, it's nice to get some special treatment every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah, you're very special.
Thanks.
So that's Silent Sky this Thursday. Doors at 6 o'clock for a special champagne toast at the Malarty Theater to kick off the 2023 season. And sure to be crowd pleasers the rest of the spring.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. And, you know, you'll hear Bobby Digital around 7 o'clock with his famous show, Bobby's World.
Oh, you know it. I'm excited. And actually, I think I might be doing a four-hour set and filling in for Grant.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, good. I was going to tell you a little bit about that anyway.
Uh-huh. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. All right. We are going to take just a quick music set break while we transition with our Community Matters guests. Coming up, I have the Crested Butte Avalanche Center forecaster, Zach Kindler, joining us to chat about how this season has stacked up and compared to other seasons, what we can expect for spring conditions in the back country. Stay tuned for Community Matters on KBUT.
What would you think if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get
That's the Beatles getting by with a little help from their friends. Classic Beatles. And that's what we do here in the community, here in the Gunnison Valley, get by with a lot of help from our friends, particularly the Crested Butte Avalanche Center's forecasts for things critical in skiing risks. Zach, how are you tonight?
I'm very well, Kelly. How are you doing?
I'm great, thanks. It's super great to have you back.
Great to be back chatting on our local community radio.
I know. So tell me a little bit about your observations of this ski season, risks, and what you've seen.
Yeah, we've had a great snowpack this winter in general. We're above average. Basin-wide, we're about 140% of our average snowpack. So in general, we're seeing a pretty deep snowpack out there, which is always good. We've had a lot of good storms. The skiing, riding has been incredible. We've, of course, had a lot of avalanches, as we do in most years, but with continued snowfall and some really big events earlier in the season, we've seen a lot of action out there.
Yes, and is this consistent snowfall? I mean, this has just been an insane winter. I mean, like, it has not stopped snowing since December. It's incredible. Is this ideal to have a consistent snowfall throughout the ski season?
It is absolutely ideal. One of the things we deal with a lot here in our Colorado Continental Snowpack, being a long way from the ocean, is long periods between storm cycles. And that's something we've seen in previous years, where that snow just sits around and it rots. The sun, the cold temperatures really turn it into very weak snow on the surface. So then we get snowfall on top of that, and that's the recipe for avalanches, is when we have that stronger snow coming in on top of those, on that really weak snow. So in a year like this, when we can continually stack up snow, storm after storm, it tends to limit the formation of those weak layers in the snowpack. And the weak layers that do form almost every early season end up getting buried very deeply. So they become less and less of an avalanche threat. So in general, the deeper it is, the stronger it is. So we're really happy to see this continued snowfall.
Yes, I think it's awesome. So in terms of some of the windy days we've had, some serious wind.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the correlation with wind and risk, or the most, you know, common areas that are experiencing some of this risk.
Yeah, absolutely. The winds the last 3 weeks have been really rowdy. We've seen gusts up to 100 miles per hour on Scarp Ridge. It had been a relatively calm winter up until the last 3 weeks or so, but the jet stream kind of put itself right overhead. And basically those winds take snow from certain aspects and put them on other aspects. So it doesn't have to necessarily be snowing. If there's snow available, then it's going to move that snow around, and that's going to create really stiff, hard slabs on those leeward aspects. So that in itself is going to create avalanche danger when we're overloading the snowpack. And that's what we've seen the last several weeks is our main danger, especially in the deeper zones north and west of towns, have been primarily driven by the winds.
What can you tell me about avalanche deaths in the backcountry across the state of Colorado, maybe particularly this year? Is there a 10-year average or a yearly average?
I'd say the average is around 7, maybe 8 deaths per year in Colorado. I believe we're at 5 right now. So I think we're tracking just a little bit below average. We had 3 more recently down south of here. Unfortunately, we lost a few more folks down there. But in general, it hasn't been, there hasn't been more than normal, I'd say that. And for the most part, I think folks have been making really good decisions out there.
Making very good decisions based on their knowledge. And you are integral in educating people and being, you know, the Avalanche Center forecasters for KBUT that are, you can hear during Morning Edition and also at 8 o'clock in the morning, really critical information for the community. Can you tell me a little bit about how you create the forecast? Who's out there seeing what, doing what. I know you post on social media some of the slides for us to be aware of, but you guys are writing this report early in the morning.
Yes, correct. Generally up around 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning. The forecaster for the day, whoever that is gathering a huge amount of information mm-hmm. from observations from the public that we receive, observations from other avalanche professionals in the area, observations from our forecast team itself, as well as a huge amount of remote station weather data, wind data, snowfall data. So a lot of information goes into that report in the morning, into creating a hazard assessment for the day and really outlining what type of avalanche, how big it's going to be, how likely it is, and then what you can do to avoid it. And we try to get that message out in as many channels as possible. Our website, of course, cbavalanche.org, is a great resource, but we're also on Facebook, we're on Instagram, YouTube, we're posting videos. Our outreach program is out at trailheads and doing a lot of other events in the community in order to get that message out to all users, young and old, any types.
Thank you so much for all of the work that you do. You are tuned into Community Matters here on KBUT, Community Radio for the Gunnison Valley. I am talking with Zach Kindler, the Crested Butte Avalanche Center forecaster. You and I have had a conversation recently about some of the Nordic area risks. They don't look very big, but they are hazardous. And as a skate skier out by Mike's Mile and, you know, some of these local trails, it's important for the message to get across to everybody outside.
Yes, absolutely. That's been a big focus of our outreach program and our forecast staff these last several years, is getting that message out, not just to our backcountry community who is making that like conscious decision to enter into avalanche terrain, but also folks who might just be visiting or folks who are just walking their dogs, Nordic skiing, just kind of wandering out on one of our many local trailheads. There are a lot of avalanche paths that impact those common areas. And we don't always see conditions where avalanches are going to impact those areas. But during certain times, like we saw in late December, early January, where we had very large avalanches running, we saw some of those areas getting impacted. Mike's Mile was buried again by about 10 to 15 feet of snowpack, mm-hmm. or debris, I should say. It was closed at the time. We work very closely with the town of Crested Butte. We work with the Nordic Center to get that message out. When that threat is there, we try to make sure those areas are closed. The Nordic Center makes that decision, but we're helping inform that. We also do mitigation work above the Nordic Center. Hmm. I was out there today, actually, because of these winds, just monitoring to see if the winds had created any small concerns out there. So we always have an eye on that. But there are a lot of paths around town that impact these areas. And one thing we sometimes see with bigger storms or in the springtime are the roof avalanches as well. Large amounts of snow and ice breaking loose from roofs, and that's a significant hazard when it's present.
They certainly are. I'm so glad you brought that up. As you know, right about now we're seeing some of the HOA managers up on the rooftops starting to really, you know, push the snow off.
Yes, there's a lot of roofs and a lot of snow up there throughout this really good season. Those mm-hmm. ice dams form, holds it to a certain point, but then when we see this warming in the spring, that's when those generally tend to let loose, and people just, a lot of folks just aren't aware of that hazard.
Let's talk a little bit about your outlook for spring skiing. It's based upon this year. And I'm so happy to hear that this average of fatality average is below what we would expect at this time. What's going on for your outlook for spring?
It'll just depend on the weather. and I wish I could predict that a little better. Weather beyond a week is really hard to predict these days. Mm-hmm. So we don't look too far out into the future. It does look like we're going to have some continued storms. The storm track is maybe changing a little bit. The West Coast is going to be heavily affected. But it looks like most of those major storms are going to kind of get deflected around our area. But we're going to see little pieces of energy breaking off, and we're going to see continued storms. So that continued snowfall is always good. Again, we have this fairly deep snowpack. The more we bury those weak layers, the better. So if the snow continues, that's definitely a good trend. One thing we are going to start to see, though, is warming. We haven't seen a significant warm-up yet.
No, we haven't.
On a lot of years, we do. So we'll sometimes see that in February, and certainly by March, we see that first big warm-up, and that's going to rapidly change the snowpack. That's going to put some stress on the snowpack. So as we move into spring, that's going to be one of the big messages and one of the big things to be aware of is that warming on the snowpack, because obviously snow doesn't like to be warm.
And
we did see today, in fact, we saw a couple big cornice falls from this last wind event that triggered some avalanches, some larger avalanches. That was due mainly to the recent winds we had. So as those calm down, we expect that problem to subside a little bit. But at this point in the season, there's a lot of large cornices looming on those ridge tops up at upper elevations. And those things can be very unstable. They're unpredictable. They're very large masses of snow. You're not sure where they're going to break, when they're going to break. So you want to just stay clear of those. And just be aware that a cornice falling can trigger a larger avalanche.
Thank you so much for this update and information. Is there anything more that you'd like people to know about Avalanche Center events that are on the calendar or ways to become educated about avalanche risk?
Yes, absolutely. We do have a few outreach events coming up. We're going to have two more of our fireside chat events. We haven't selected the locations and exact dates for those, but look for one of those at the end of this month and then one more in the first part of April. And we also have a trailhead day. Our final trailhead day will be March 18th. Up at Kebler Pass Trailhead. We're going to be teaming up with Snow Trackers, Snowmobile Club, the Forest Service, Search and Rescue, and Gunnison Mentors to have a big collaboration up there. We're going to be cooking brats and chili and just partying up at Kebler Pass. So that's March 18th. And then on March 19th, we've got the Al Johnson Memorial Race, which is going to be up at the ski area. It's the 49th annual Al Johnson.
Wow.
Proceeds from that go directly to CBAC, so that's a good way to support the support CBAC and just be a part of a really fun event. And you can find information for that on skicb.com as well as our website, cbavalanchecenter.org.
Wonderful. I'm so glad you could be here tonight to talk about what's happening with the Avalanche Center and all these upcoming events. And we will look forward to hearing your avalanche report for tomorrow morning.
That's great. Thank you so much for having me. Great to be back.
Yeah, thank you, Zach.
Awesome.
Okay. We are going to get to our next guest, Carrie Wallace from the Majestic Theater here on Community Matters. You're listening to KBUT. I'm Kelly Dole. We are reviving Community Matters tonight. Look forward to some wonderful guests on the calendar. We're just going to play a short music set while we transition with our guests. Thanks for listening to KBUT.
Well, since you put me down, I've been up to an in my head. I come in late at night, and in the morning I just lay in bed. But why do you look so fine? And my love would take much time for you to help me run the healthy dinner out of my heart. Run the healthy, run the healthy.
the Beach Boys keeping you company while we switch hats, switch seats here on Community Matters and KBUT, Community Radio for the entire Gunnison Valley and worldwide. A very important person is in the studio with me, Carrie Wallace. Hi.
Hi, Kelly. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so happy to have you here. Carrie Wallace is the woman who has saved the Majestic Theater with Conrad. And I'm just going to get straight to it. What inspired you to save the Majestic?
Oh, so it was a couple things. Before the Majestic closed down, I was the manager there. So I loved working there. It's my favorite job I've ever had in the Valley. And I just saw firsthand every day how important it was for people. I think I really felt the loss when it shut down from COVID originally. And then when we found out it was going to shut down permanently, we felt that hit very hard. And then personally, some other things. I met my fiance Conrad, who's also my partner. We met working at the Majestic Theater, so it's a very special place for us. I actually met my rescue dog there for the first time, and she was up for adoption too. She comes to work with us all the time. If you come to the movie theater, you probably know Suki, the little fluffy dog running around. And then lastly, the former manager of the Majestic before me, Peyton Kelly, he was my best friend, and he had passed away in the spring of 2019. And that was really hard for all of us. I think everyone who knew him, he was such a fixture at the Majestic. And, you know, grief is hard, and I found something to throw myself into because I knew he would hate seeing it close. And, yeah, that was a good motivation for me. And then finally, I knew that growing up, I went to the movies a lot, and it was a really good outlet for me to see outside of the little place that I grew up in. So we really wanted to revive it for the local kids around here.
There's so much heart here. So much heart at the Majestic Theater. The Majestic Theater just isn't your typical movie theater. This is a nonprofit organization that
yes.
you created
yes.
after that fallout. Member run. What else is different since you revived the Majestic in terms of operations and that community piece?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, Kelly, the biggest switch is we are a nonprofit cinema now. When we initially closed, I was like, well, how the heck are other small town movie theaters staying open? So I Googled it, and I found out that in the early 2000s, a lot of these independent rural theaters made the switch to nonprofits. And I had studied nonprofit management in college, so I was like, okay, perfect. I can finally use my degree. So, yeah, now we're a nonprofit cinema. We have all the benefits of being a 501c3, but it allows us to be a bit more focused on being an arts and cultural resource for our community now. One of the ways that we're really trying to do that is we have three screens at the Majestic, two still show new movies, and our third screen we reserve for rentals and community events every day. So we host all sorts of birthday parties and collaboration events with other organizations and nonprofits. Other different things. We're working on improving our concessions a lot more, and especially with the decline in restaurants around Crested Butte recently, we're trying to mm-hmm. kind of offer something a bit more filling for people when they maybe couldn't get a dinner reservation. We also did a couple changes to the lobby. We got a new mural painted by Sarah Beabout. We have a TV playing old VHSs in there, and we have some games, kind of trying to make it more inviting if people want to show up early and have a drink before the movie. But mostly we didn't want to change too much because I think the Majestic, it was run amazing how it was, and it was such a staple of our community beforehand, and we learned so much from Mark and Ellie Drucker, who were the owners before, so we really wanted to keep a lot of the traditions alive.
So you have conserved a lot of the tradition and brought back your knowledge of nonprofit organization. And then you've also tapped into some of the trends you're seeing around the community, around community service with restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's so incredibly smart.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And then you've got this variety of screen function. So let's just say I'm in love with a movie and I want to have a party.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you if I can rent the Majestic and see the movie that I want?
Yeah, absolutely.
How does that work?
So you would go to our website, cbmajestic.org, and there's a rentals page. On the rentals page, you're going to find all of our pricing. The way we price rentals is pretty much by how many people. So if you were to have 10 friends or less, it's only $50 to rent the theater, watch your favorite movie, yell at the screen, change seats 100 times. You know, you don't have to worry about disturbing other people's experience.
Yeah.
And we also, on that rentals page, we have an availability calendar. So I keep that updated with what slots are booked and what slots are still open.
Your website is so rich with content and programming. I can see that you guys are incredibly busy and looking far out into the calendar. What else about some of the programming is a little bit different in terms of what people can expect to see?
Yeah. So before, we really kind of just showed three first-run movies all of the time. And what we had noticed was that one of the theaters would very often be empty. So we kind of saw this rental structure as a way to get more people in, and get people in who maybe necessarily don't want to see a new movie, but they want to watch a concert or a sports game or go to their friend's birthday party or something. So it allows us to get kind of a new audience. And that rental theater, this whole rental idea was actually our former manager, Peyton. So we dedicated the rental theater to him. So that's the Peyton Castle Kelly Memorial Theater now. But what's really been doing super well for us this winter is birthday parties. Kids and adults, especially in the winter, there's not a lot of places to gather for a birthday party. No. Most of our birthday parties fall in the $100 rental slot. Parents have been really grateful for it because we've got all the food there. We clean up after you. The walls are soundproof, so the kids can
scream
it up in there and not bother anyone. It's also really great for younger kids for their first movie-going experience, because we can kind of turn the volume down and leave the lights on, so it's maybe not so scary as going to a normal experience.
Sure, a big surround sound, gigantic theater.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you can rent a movie and it's kind of have like a giant living room experience.
Yes, definitely. And then, yeah, we're also using that rental theater to do a lot of collaboration events or host, being the venue for other organizations to host their fundraisers. Just recently, we worked with KBUT to put on a little fundraiser for their pledge drive. We did The Dark Side of Oz, which is when you play Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon over The Wizard of Oz, and it very eerily syncs up if you've never seen it. We had such a great turnout, and it's such a win-win because we can create a fun event together. KBUT has incredible advertising power. You guys can market anything.
Yep.
And we just want to get people in there because we make most of our money off concessions. So if we can do an event with another organization that benefits them through ticket sales, and we can sell concessions, that's a win-win for everyone. And we're so excited to keep doing these things.
I love that model, and I'm watching, you know, all of the events that you're having. Do you have something coming up with the Avalanche Center?
We do not. We have a bunch of stuff coming up for this kind of spring break week. Starting this weekend, we're doing two nights of Oscar-nominated shorts with the film festival.
Yes.
Yeah, and then on Sunday, we have our Oscar party, which we're going to watch the Oscars live, play some trivia, vote for who we think's win, come dressed up if you want, it's free.
And watch the Oscars.
And watch the Oscars, which is, you know, a very exciting night for all of us movie nerds over at the Majestic.
Absolutely. I think I'm thinking of adaptive sports.
Yeah.
You have something coming up with adaptive.
Yes. So next week, I believe it's the 16th Thursday, we're hosting adaptive movie night. And I believe it's free. You need to RSVP to Gabe at AdaptiveSportsCenter.com. I'm not sure if that website's right. Don't quote me on that. But okay. We're showing two films about adaptive athletes. And it's going to be a fun night for them. And then there's going to be a Q&A. One of the filmmakers is going to be there.
Let's go back to how you are making revenue. You are asking the public to show some regard with the concessions.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about what you really need for the community to do.
Yeah, we don't sneak in food.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Don't sneak in alcohol. That's a big thing. You know, it's all part of the business. I think what we try to say to people is, when you go to your AMC back home, no one notices and it doesn't really hurt anyone. But I am the executive director of the organization, and I am the one sweeping up the rows five nights a week. And I've definitely shed many a tears finding outside stuff. Because, it's just, we're a small organization. We just came back. We need people to spend money through us. We try really hard to keep things affordable, but it's kind of the same way when you go to an airport, you know that something's going to cost more. Mm-hmm. You know, we're very aware that our prices are not the same as at the grocery store, but that's, you know, it's the same thing as going to a concert or Yeah, and any fun location, the drinks are going to cost a little bit more.
Sure. Well, there's a trade-off for everybody who wants to enter the Majestic, either through rental or seeing some of your theme weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't mind spending more money on popcorn, and I know that people are just so absolutely thrilled with what you're doing so far.
Yeah.
So this is really about, you know, buy the concessions. That's how that's how it helps the Majestic. Look at the website for programming, birthday parties or events. How about members? Do members get little perks?
Yeah, so we have a membership program that we just started when we reopened. The most popular one is our local membership, but you don't have to live here 365 days a year to sign up for it. For one person, it costs $100 a year. You get $3 off all your movie tickets, a free small or medium popcorn every time you come in. We have two members-only movies a year, and you get a free movie on your birthday. So it's just kind of a fun way, a free popcorn when you come in is pretty great.
I would say so. And what a great way to stay connected to community in the Gunnison Valley. We all really rely on each other. Nonprofit organizations are abundant here in the Gunnison Valley. And when we market together and work together, we all do better together.
Yeah, that's absolutely something we've seen. If we can co-present something with someone and put all of our energy into it, we can make a lot better events. I think after COVID, the Valley saw a lot of events coming all at once.
Yes.
And I'm happy to see that we're kind of narrowing it down more and working together more.
Well, it's just so specialized, and you've worked so hard. I've watched you.
Yes, Kelly really has watched me.
Yeah, I really have. We're so proud of you. So on social media a few days ago, you posted something that arrived in the mail.
Oh, yes.
And it had this, guess what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was in the mystery box?
It's a pizza warmer. We actually just got it set up. We're now selling slices of Mikey's Pizza, which is all part of that expanding our concessions offerings.
Mikey's Pizza at the Majestic?
Yeah.
All right, sign me up.
just in case you didn't catch your dinner before showtime, mm-hmm. we'll have a little something to hold you over.
Yeah, or you come to town and you're bumped off of Elk Avenue for dinner, and you know.
Yeah.
Okay, the website again is?
cbmajestic.org.
Is there anything I've overlooked or missed that you would like to share?
Oh, I don't think so. I'm so grateful to be back in the studio and talking with you. We're so grateful for the community's support on this. It really feels like we got a little bit of help from everyone, and it really took a village, and it's just so rewarding that we have it back now. And we really want the Majestic to be a place that all of our locals are proud of. Like, I want them to go home to their families, maybe if you're not from Colorado or from Crested Butte, and say, oh, we have the coolest movie theater in Crested Butte. And I want it to be something that we all add to, because it's something that we all brought back together. And I want us all to feel proud for it, about it. Pride. Oh, man, I'm proud.
Proud. It's happening, and it will. Is there anything else about your long-term vision, a hope that you want, or are you not thinking that way yet? I mean, community pride is about as big as it gets, right?
No, I think I'm always thinking long-term. My next big goal is to really become more sustainable. I really want to make room and buy a dishwasher or rent a dishwasher and a ton of reusable cups and buckets, because we do produce a lot of trash on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to invest in seeing us be a little bit more green. We're just having a lot of fun seeing what works right now. We're trying a ton of different events, a ton of different styles of events, and just seeing what the community responds to. And we're just looking forward. Yeah, we have a lot of big remodel dreams, but
yeah.
That's far down the road.
All right. Well, you're very ambitious. You're a visionary, and I don't think the Majestic would be here without you.
Oh, thanks.
Really,
Kelly.
Wouldn't. So congratulations.
Well, thanks.
And thank you.
We're so happy to be back.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So it's cbmajestic.org.
Mm-hmm.
And go check it out.
Yeah.
And donate and enjoy some popcorn and Mikey's Pizza.
Yeah. Come watch
a movie.
Rent out the theater and do something fun with your friends.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Kelly.
Yeah,
appreciate
anything
it.
We can do, let me know.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for reviving Community Matters.
Yeah, super absolutely.
Exciting.
Can't wait. I'm so excited. Yeah. Well, you've been listening to Community Matters, our first night back here on KBUT, Community Radio for the entire Gunnison Valley. This evening, We had Alec Lindemann, executive director from the Malarty Theater, talking about the upcoming programming and how the Malarty Theater works production-wise. We had Zach Kindler from the Crested Butte Avalanche Center talking about safety and risks and trends and the outlook for spring. And we finished up with Carrie Wallace, the executive director of the Majestic Theater. You're tuned into KBUT Crested Butte, KGNI Gunnison, and worldwide at KBUT.org. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Bobby's World with Bobby Digital. We're going to transition with a couple of tunes here. Thank you so much for tuning in to KBUT.
What would you do?